Welcome to my podcast. This podcast is called Doula Club. My name is Bonnie Silva and I will be your host. Enjoy the ride. Hey everybody, welcome back. I took about almost 2 weeks to do this next episode and I just wanted to take a step back and just kind of come back with some new subjects. So a couple things happened this weekend. I participated, or I shouldn't say participated, but I attended a birth this weekend with a mom who, it was actually a volunteer birth. I love doing volunteer births. I think it really puts in perspective of why I do this work as a doula and why I kind of have this gift to be a doula. I think that to be a doula, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of emotion. It's an emotional baggage, kind of like when you're waiting at the airport and the baggages are coming. That's kind of how like being a doula is, because it's a lot of waiting and it's a lot of emotional labor. But it's an amazing, amazing job. And I love it, but I'm very, very honest about it. Being a doula sometimes can take so much out of you that a lot of doulas stop doing this work after 3-4 years. I'm on my third year, have no intention of ever stopping, but it can take a toll on a lot of people. And so, you know, when I tell people for the first year or even the first year or two or year two and a half, don't quit your day job. Or what does that mean? Like, don't quit your part-time job. Have that part-time job, because in the beginning it's pretty much like a paid internship. For the first at least 5 to 6, 7 births at least, they are a huge learning curve. It's a huge learning experience. You really have the grasp of, do I want to do this work? Is this really for me? What does it take to be a doula? Is this worth my while? After those however many births that takes for you to have that realization, you know, it starts with, and then you have to really, really work hard on networking, really put your name out there, really work on social media, because unfortunately, because of the way the world is now and the way the technology is, and a lot of people are on Facebook nowadays more for networking. Like, I personally, I don't even use my Facebook really to post anything. I really use it for networking, to communicate with other doulas. I get some jobs on Facebook from doulas recommending me. It's constantly putting your name out there that people will realize that you're there. You know what I mean? Like, it's that saying, I kind of forgot the saying, but it's like, if people constantly see your name, they're going to remember you. It's not, if they don't remember you, it's not that they don't like you, but it's probably because there's so many other doulas that are in our community, that if you're not constantly like showing your name, then people will not like call you, will not recommend you. You know, it's important to have a website, even if you don't have much, even if it's just one page of your biography. It's good to have a website. It's good to have an Instagram. Why? The same reason why you have a Facebook and a website. It's good to have, people love pictures. I think a lot of people are very visual. And if you're not visual, and if you're really great with words, put a picture up and then really write it. I see some Instagram posts that are just like, girl, write a book. But that's how people communicate. That's how people express themselves. You know what I mean? Like, so it's good to have a website. It's good to have a Facebook page, even if it's just a business doula Facebook page. It's good to have an Instagram. I don't have Twitter. I don't have like a Tumblr or anything like that. But hey, if you're into that and if you're like network savvy, go for it. You know, I always encourage people to do that. And going back into like how it affects your work, you will get jobs through that. A lot of jobs that I have are from Carriage House, because I'm part of their doula community. But also a lot of my jobs too are from recommendations. A lot of the postpartum stuff that I do are from doulas that I have, a lot of times I have never met, but they recommend me because they see my name. They see that I have a podcast. They see that I have an Instagram that's pretty active. So like, people see the name Bonnie Silva constantly, they're going to recommend me. If they don't see Betty Boo,
the name Betty Boo all the time, they're not going to recommend Betty Boo. So it's really about being constantly talking, networking, putting yourself out there, and that's like constant. You know what I mean? Like, you have to do that throughout the whole time, and eventually you start getting successful. And maybe you're much more successful than I was when I started. Maybe you're gonna be much more successful than I am in a few years from now. But regardless of when you start getting successful in terms of like making money, building a life for yourself, paying your bills through your doula work, you really have to network. And that's constant. You never stop networking. Because if you stop networking, that means that you're not working as a doula. If people don't see that you're active, they think that you stopped doing this work. So it's constantly being active. And being constantly active, you know, here's the thing. When I think about doula work and what I do in my profession, my career, my life, I breathe, eat, and live doula work, right? I try to participate as much as I can with all the workshops that my agency Carriage House provides. I try to meet up with as many doulas as I can outside of, you know, my community, because I think it's important to reach out and be like, hey, I hear you, I see you, I feel you. That being said, I think that it's important to realize why you're doing this job. Once you realize why you're doing this job, not just let's put the dollar signs aside. So this work, once you start being a doula for a while, you realize that it's not just about the money. There's also a lot of important values, social values, economic values on how a doula actually affects people. And I think that once you realize that, and why don't I give myself it as an example, right? So when I started this, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And my first birth was really like incredibly eye-opening. And I was so in awe of the whole scenario of a birth that I was just like, let me dig more. And I really researched, I watched tons of videos, as I still do. That never stopped. But over time, I learned little by little. You know, in the beginning, I was just a birth doula. Realized that postpartum is incredibly valued just as birth. Started doing that. Realized that understanding how to take care of a newborn is incredibly valuable. So I decided to be a newborn care specialist. I also realized that being a breastfeeding counselor or having knowledge of what breastfeeding is really, really valuable too. So I did that as well. And I'm constantly building up my quote unquote knowledgeable doula bag, because I'm not a mother. I don't know what it's like to breastfeed, but I want to be able to guide and give as much as information as I can to a mom that doesn't have any knowledge whatsoever. So I think that being a doula and having all the knowledge that you have is a huge privilege, but then it goes back to, why am I doing this job? Why am I going to a stranger's birth and watching their baby and holding their hand and helping them breathe and coach them on pushing? Why am I doing this? And the reason why is because you realize that you're good at it. second of, and I'm talking about myself, of course, that I'm good at it. Second of all, there's something incredibly beautiful and humbling in watching somebody give birth. It's incredibly humbling. Anatomy and biology aside, which I'm obsessed with, it's just really, really humbling to see somebody give life to another person. And that being said, because I love my job and my career and my life so much, that's why I started doing more volunteer births. You know, there are women in other countries that die on the table while giving birth. That is a real thing. There are women that without hesitation, they will get a C-section. Without hesitation, the doctors will give them a C-section in certain countries. Okay, I speak for myself. So in Brazil, which is my background, my parents are both Brazilian. I was born in Boston, so I have dual citizenship. And I had the privilege of living in two countries. That is a privilege. A lot of people don't realize that. That is a privilege to at least speak two languages. Huge privilege. And I'm very blessed and very thankful. Very, very thankful. That being said, in Brazil is one of the top five highest C-section rate countries. You wouldn't think that, but it is, you know, and women are getting cut up, and having a C-section is a deep, deep surgery. It cuts layers of muscles. You know, it's very traumatic to the body. It takes a couple of years for you to recover. You know, doctors might say, oh, you'll heal in about a couple of weeks. It takes a couple of years for you to recover in your insides. Your outside might recover, but it takes years. It's, in a lot of times, a C-section is medically needed, but in a lot of countries, they are doing it because they don't have the resources, you know? So when you're supporting a mom, in my case, I was supporting a mom from another country who came here to have her baby in a safe environment, then yeah, you want to support that person. You want to give your time and you want to donate and give that time because you want to help that person. And you would, and I'm not trying to say like, oh, I'm being a quote unquote white savior. That's not at all. Like, not at all. I don't want to even like say it that way because, and I think I even phrased it improperly. I wanted to be there to support her, to make sure that she was having the knowledge, understanding her decisions, and understanding her options. Because a lot of these women don't have the education. And that's when I say that here in America, we are so privileged that when I see what's going on in this country where we're not understanding that we should be helping other people, we should, because we're so privileged, we should be helping not only our own, which is in America, but we should be helping other countries as well, supporting women and birthing partners that want to have kids in a safe environment where they're not going to just get cut up and be disrespected. That is why I'm a doula. I am here because I want to help people, independent of where you come from, why you came, and why you're at a hospital or why you're at a birthing center. It doesn't matter. None of those things matter to me. What matters to me is that you're understanding your rights, you have all of the knowledge that you need, and that you have the perfect safe support team next to you. That is why I'm a doula. So the other thing that happened this weekend, so I attended the birth, and it was a beautiful birth, mind you. Like, it was long. It was a little long, but as a lot of births are, but it ended up the way she wanted. Like, a lot of her preferences were met. She had a vaginal birth. She was safe. Her baby was safe. And that being said, the other thing that I attended was a workshop on deconstructing allyship, white privilege, and accountability. And it was held at Carriage House, but it was by Village Birth International, by Amy Brill. And if you don't know her, please follow her. I think that she and her partner are doing a lot of beautiful, beautiful work. It is pretty incredible and very valuable, especially to the birth community. And I speak for myself as a doula. I thought it was incredibly valuable to acknowledge that, even though I don't consider myself white, but I pass as white. I mean, I have tattoos, I have purple hair, I have like a very cool, funky, I mean, I think I'm cool. I think I have like a cool, funky style. And so I pass as white, but I am not white. And I think that, you know, in our society, white supremacy has been ingrained in our society in a way where it's very disturbing. And I think that we need people to call us out. We need to be able to acknowledge and start with the step of like acknowledging and start changing. And especially, I feel that doulas that are white doulas that do this work, and they come in with a certain privilege. And I think that you really have to take a step back and really acknowledge that there are a lot of women that are birthing babies that don't have the privilege of of just being able to birth the way you want to. I mean, having a home birth is a huge privilege. Not everybody can do that. You know, you choosing to have a home birth, that's a privilege right there. You know, we are so kind of groomed by society to have a certain way of thinking that brown and black is bad, white is good. When the majority of this country is brown and black, this country was pretty much founded on genocide and white supremacy. And if we can't acknowledge that, if you have a problem with those words that just came out of my mouth, you need to question why you have a problem with that and start to take a step back and understand why you have a problem understanding that celebrating Columbus Day is a huge, huge problematic thing. You're celebrating genocide. That's all you're doing. It's not about the fucking turkey. It's not about family. You're celebrating genocide. Period. Think about it. Why are you celebrating Columbus Day? What the fuck does that mean to you? Oh, I'm with family. Look beyond that. Look beyond that. Because when you say that, what you don't realize is that that's a white supremacist idea that was ingrained in you, that was brainwashed by you, by your culture. And that being said, it goes into birth work, you know. Hospitals, medical staff, we need to take a step back and really look at ourselves and check ourselves every day. And when we wake up, we need to say, I am wrong. And you, when you wake up and you say that, you start to realize that not everything that comes out of your mouth is right. You know, when you walk into a birth and you're a doula, you're just a doula. You have that birth has nothing to do with you. That is not your child. That is not your family. That is not your friend. You, that is your client that hired you to support them and to be an advocate for them. Okay? That is really what's happening, is that you're an advocate for your client. And you have no privilege in there. That is not your job to think like, I am a doula. No. You're a doula. And that's what you have to understand, is that, you know, constantly what I tell, especially doulas that have never attended a birth, and they have this, like, it's almost like the sugar high when you do the birth course, the doula course when you become a doula. You're on the sugar high. And I can say this because this is how I had this. I will totally be humble enough to say that I was that doula. I was that doula that my first fucking birth, girl, I walked in there like I fucking owned the room. I didn't know shit, okay? I walked in like I thought I was the shit, and I was nothing. I was nothing. If I could go back in time, I'd slap myself in the face. That's how much you have to really take a step back, that when you're a doula and you're attending your first birth, this has nothing to do with you. Your opinion it doesn't necessarily matter, but the knowledge that you're giving your client matters. When you want to advocate for your client, you do it on their interest. This has nothing to do with you. Fuck your certification. You do it for the best intentions for your client. You make sure that your client is safe. But you do it acknowledging that there is a privilege that you have, and where you have more knowledge than your client. Acknowledge that. Take a step back and be humbled, and don't be on that high horse of like, oh, I'm a doula, so yeah. It's like, no, you're just a doula. So understand that, acknowledge that, and please look into this issue that I'm talking about, because this is an issue that is ingrained in us that, when I walked into this workshop, I really had no idea what I was walking myself into. But I do this a lot. Like, I'll just sign up for workshops and be like, I want to do this workshop. The title sounds interesting. I think this is a good idea. Most likely, if my agency Carriage House is promoting it, then I should probably be doing it, because I know that they have the best intentions for all the doulas that are in their community. And when I walked in, I'm going to be honest with you, I was the only Latina woman in there. I was like, I was just like, did I fucking walk into the wrong place? And I picked up really quickly what the kind of workshop that it was, and I rolled with it, and I was very thankful that I signed up for it because it was incredibly valuable to me. You know, I come from a background where I do have Native American, Black, I have Jewish and German and Portuguese, as far as I'm concerned. I would love to do the DNA test just to see where I really come from. But as far as I'm concerned, that's where my background is. So I have a lot of white in my background. And it was super valuable. You know, I don't have a quote-unquote European DNA, but I thought this was valuable to me. And I think that it would be valuable to a lot of birth workers that don't understand how privileged they are to really look into how you can deconstruct your white privilege and really understand the accountability that you have as somebody that's doing birth work, and that you have to understand that there is a lot at stake and that you're there to help people, but understand that you are there to help them, and this has nothing to do with you. You are there, this is your job, is to help them and make sure that they are making decisions and making good decisions, but you're also there to advocate on good, like, good stuff. Yeah. I acknowledge that as a birth worker, the knowledge, the experiences, and the community that I have at my fingertips is a privilege. And I vow to help every single client to the best of my abilities. I vow to make sure that most, if not all, their preferences are met. And I vow to be the best birth supporter that I can be to a couple, to a single parent, to a birthing partner, to a birthing person, to a mother. And I hope that I can slowly help make a difference along with every doula and every birth worker that's trying to deconstruct the bad images and the bad attitudes and just things that happen in the birth world. And I hope that all doulas can always come together and always discuss and always make a better community in order to help support others. And I hope that I was able to enlighten you on something. And it might have sounded a little jumbled, but please look into what I said, because I think it's very, very important. So I bid you adieu. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And please, please, please say I love you to the person that you love the most.